Thanks for joining us for this week's message. At First Baptist, we exist to love God, love people, and make disciples. We hope you find yourselves blessed, challenged, and encouraged by this week's message. And for more information, you can follow us on social media or visit us at fbcrockhill.org.
Good morning, church family, and happy Labor Day weekend. I love every time, every Sunday, we are able to gather as a family of faith in one service. It's just beautiful to be together, beautiful to sing praises to Jesus together, and I'm happy to be here and trust that you are as well. We're going to continue the teaching we've been doing recently from Hebrews 11 on faith, but before I get to that, I want us to spend some time praying, and in a moment I'm going to invite you who would like to join me at the altar. I want you to look at these verses. Has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's for our prayer time. He says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be what? Be what? And come to the knowledge of the truth." I'm convinced that each person in this room has people in your life, relatives, co-workers, classmates, friends, neighbors, people you talk to at the gym, they're not saved. They don't know Jesus. If they died right now, they'd go to hell, not heaven. And that burdens your heart. And I want us to pray for them. Do you have a name in mind? Some of you have more than one name, right? So I want us to take time to pray. We've been singing these songs about the blood of Jesus. Why did Jesus die? To save people. Not just us, but he died for everyone. So we want to pray. And I want you to have an opportunity to pray for the one that's on your heart. The ones, the many that are on your heart. So those who would like to, come and join me here at the altar. And we'll just fill up all around. I'm going to lead us in prayer and then give you a chance to pray. So those who would like to, come on down. Let's pray. Let's take these names to the Lord. We're in church. Kneeling's good. Just kneel in the floor or the front chairs here. You're welcome to stand. Kneeling's difficult for some. Those of you who are out in the chairs, you join with us in this prayer. This is for you and the people you care about as well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you for the reality that you love us. And you love the ones that are on our hearts and minds this morning as well. Jesus, you died for them. You want to know them and want them to know you. And so, Lord, we kneel in this place. We stand in this place. We humble our hearts in your presence. That you move mightily in the lives of each of those we're thinking about right now. That you remind them that you exist. That you convict them of their sin. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the blood. And may they come to realize that their greatest need is Jesus. Make them uncomfortable, unhappy in living without you. Father, I pray that you would bring, we join our hearts together right now, asking that you in your wisdom and your miraculous power bring into their lives other believers they don't yet know who will be a witness to them, who will be an encouragement to them. Father, we pray that you remove from their lives those who are leading them astray. That you remove from their lives those Satan is using to hinder them coming to faith. Holy Spirit, humble them. Convince them that you are real and that they need you. Convict them of their sin. Convict them that judgment is coming. And give them, Father, not just a fear of the consequences of sin, but give them a heart that wants to know you. And now in this silence, pray your own prayer for your person or persons. Ask God to use you. Ask the Lord this week to give you opportunities to have spiritual conversations, gospel conversations with people. Ask the Lord to give you boldness and courage to speak. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you when you witness, to give you the words. And now tell the Lord how much you love Him. Tell Him again. And tell Him again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Look over there on the wall at those three banners. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's the biblical reason every church exists. It's why we exist. And our priorities are engaging lostness, growing disciples, and strengthening families. And prayer is at the heart of that, because the great things of God happen when His people pray. And when we don't pray, we don't see as much. God responds to His people's prayers, so pray. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Do you have your copy of God's Word with you? Hold it up, let me see it. Hebrews chapter 11. You got your Bible? Amen. Always bring your Bible to church. For a few weeks now, we've been walking through this chapter, the often called the Faith Hall of Fame. We've already learned lessons about faith from Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. Is one of those your favorite? Which one have you enjoyed most? Just tell me, which one did you like better? Noah, Abraham, Enoch, Abel, anybody? Abraham? Anybody like Enoch? You want to go to heaven without dying? Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Today, we're not looking at one of these heroes of the faith. It's referred to Abraham some, but it's some of these teaching verses in the middle of this chapter that talks about faith and a little bit about Abraham's faith, but it's not his story. And I want us to pick it up in verse 10, because last Sunday we left off at verse 9 talking about Abraham and his faith. And it says in verse 10, this is interesting. I'm curious if you read this and, well, I kind of know what it means and you kept going, or have you really pondered what he's saying here? Verse 10, for he, referring to Abraham, was looking for the city which has foundations. Now remember, God had called him to leave his home in Ur of the Chaldees over in southern Iraq today and move to a land that he was going to show him when he arrived. We know it as the promised land there in the Middle East. But it says here he was not looking for that. Instead, he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That puts a different light on Abraham's journey, on Abraham's faith. He goes on then to talk about Sarah, and we pick up in verse 13. He said, all these died, Abraham, Sarah, the ones we mentioned before. And I think kind of included in Abraham as his seeds, the patriarchs who would come after him. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of their country from which they went out, for Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans, they would have had opportunity to return. He could have gone back. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. So these verses that take the faith of Abraham and the others and lift their faith, it lifts their faith to another level, another plane. I want us to walk through these and learn some principles, some lessons about faith today. not just for Abraham, but for all of us. And here's the first one. Faith lives in the here and now with its eyes on the then and there. Faith lives in the here and now with its eyes on the then and there. Verse 10, Abraham wasn't just looking for the promised land. Wasn't just looking for a piece of dirt in the Middle East to call his own. The Bible says in verse 10 that he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for a city that God designed and built. A heavenly city. He was looking for heaven. In fact, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, heaven quite often is described as a city. You have in Revelation the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. You have two other places in Hebrews where heaven is referred to as city. If you want to turn over a page or two, in chapter 13, verse 14, he says, "For here we do not have a lasting city on this earth." Nothing's permanent in this world. I mean, if you've traveled around the world, you've visited the ruins of ancient cities. When we were in Italy, went down to Pompeii, used to be a well-populated city. Now it's just ruins that tourists visit. No city, no place, nothing in this world, on this earth, is permanent. Abraham was looking for something that was different. And so in chapter 13, verse 14, here in this life, we don't have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. The heavenly city. So it's interesting that in describing the faith of Abraham that caused him to leave behind his home, Ur of the Chaldeans, and move to a place that God promised him, a place God was going to show him once he arrived, the Holy Land. And yet Abraham was looking for something even beyond that. Looking for a heavenly city. See what Abraham did? Listen to this. Abraham knew, as we said last Sunday, that God's plan for him was bigger than he understood. God was going to build a nation, descendants too numerous to count. God was going to bless all the nations, bless all the world through his descendants, i.e. through the Messiah, Jesus. Abraham knew that it was bigger than just him having some land, but he also knew it was just bigger than that. There was a purpose, there was an eternal purpose, there was an eternal plan, and Abraham wanted the heavenly more than he wanted the earthly. And because, listen to this now, because Abraham's eyes of faith were on that eternal, were on that heavenly, choosing to obey down here on the earthly, the temporal, was a lot easier. See, if you know when God calls you to do something, this kind of spontaneous, Carol, you sitting over here and your son in Taiwan, breaks your heart. You want him home. You want that grandkid home. See, God moves him, but it's not just because God wants him in Taiwan. There's a heavenly, there's an eternal purpose, because there are going to be some people in heaven because of an earthly move. And Abraham understood that when God asks you to do something down here, it's not just for what you can see in the here and now. There's a bigger, eternal, heavenly purpose to it. And he was looking to fulfill. And he was looking to be at home with God in heaven one day. He didn't want to just be at home here on the promised land. He wanted to be at home in the heavenly city. And faith that moves mountains, faith that is radical and obeys God's call on your life, always understands that the earthly moves are for a heavenly purpose, and you're always seeking the kingdom of God. You're always seeking the kingdom of heaven. You're always seeking that eternal plan of God, and therefore the parts down here that move, that take on a different life. It's interesting. Over in the Gospel of John, Jesus was talking about Abraham and his faith, and notice he said in John 8:56, Jesus said to the audience that day, "Your father Abraham," they were descendants of Abraham, "rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad," because his faith looked beyond just the here and now of his journey on earth. He knew God was going to do something. He may not have understood all of it, but he knew God was going to do something heavenly, and he was looking for that. So keep your eyes focused and don't get distracted. When you get distracted, you mess up. I remember years ago, Stephen, our son, was little. And we stopped at a local convenience store. It was in the summertime. Went in, got each of us got an ice cream. And I don't know. He's maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. And he's in my truck. And we're eating our ice cream and cutting up. And I'm just barely moving in that parking lot, moving over toward the exit to the road. And we're cutting up and eating our ice cream. And all of a sudden, I heard, bump. Because I was paying attention to my grandson and got distracted. My son, rather, an ice cream. I gently bumped into the driver's side door of another car there in the parking lot. Minimal damage. We also know distracted driving kills people. Somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 people in America die every year because people are distracted on the highway with these things. What happens when God's calling you in life for a heavenly purpose and you get distracted by the here and now? When the here and now takes precedence over the eternal. When comfort takes precedence over sacrifice. What happens? When the visible, the tangible takes precedence over the invisible, the intangible. When the physical takes precedence over the spiritual. When my will takes precedence over his will. Abraham teaches us that one of the ways we keep fulfilling the purpose of God, we keep expanding the kingdom of God, is we just stay focused on the heavenly calling of God. This life is beautiful, and this life is, I'm glad to be alive. I know you are. But this life's not all there is. And I don't want to live just for the here and now. I want to live for something bigger than that. Something eternal. And that's what faith does. It lives in the here and now with its eyes on the then and there. Well, let me move on. Number two, faith, this kind of faith, it lasts all the way to the grave. It doesn't run out. It lasts all the way to the grave in chapter 11. Look at verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, they died. Listen, I said last Sunday, Abraham died and the only piece of land he owned in the promised land was a graveyard. Isaac didn't own the promised land. Jacob, his grandson, did not own the promised land. Joseph, Abraham's great-grandson, did not own the promised land. He died then in Egypt. They died. They didn't own the promised land. Didn't live long enough to see the Messiah born. Had not with their own physical eyes literally seen the city of heaven. But they never abandoned the faith. They kept moving forward all the way to the grave. They wanted the promises of God. He talks about that in verse 16. They desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. They wanted the promises of God. And they didn't receive them all in their life, but they kept believing all the way to the grave. He says they welcomed them. The word there is the idea of welcome, greeting, salute. Tom, I know you were in the military when you were a younger man. Did you ever salute someone? All the time. It's recognition. It's respect. And what he's saying here is these patriarchs in their faith, it's like they could see off in the distance the promises of God that they knew would not be fully realized in their lifetime, but they saw it and they saluted. They said hello, they welcomed, they greeted, they recognized, they paid due respect to it, and that caused their faith to be strong until the day they closed their eyes in death. Kept their eyes on it. They honored it. They recognized the future of God. Never gave up. And I love the way Genesis in the Old Testament describes Abraham's death. Genesis 25:8, Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people. There's a lot of people who come to the end of life and they're not satisfied. You know how you live a life that you look back over and feel satisfied with when your time comes to leave this world for that world? You live a life of faith. You live a life that is dedicated to a higher calling, to a higher purpose. And you get to the end and you look back and say, man, I'm satisfied. I didn't waste it. I'm satisfied. Many of you know that 2 years ago, my mentor, Bill Mackey, died from cancer, and I preached his funeral. I was looking last night. I have a voicemail on my phone that I've not erased from just 3 or 4 months before he died when he was battling cancer. Just haven't erased it for whatever reason. But the voicemail, do you know what it's about? Here he is, he's in his early 80s, he's dying with cancer, and he calls and leaves a voicemail and says, hey, Steve, there's this young couple I'm working with that live up in the Charlotte area, and they need counseling. Can you give me the name of that counselor you gave me once before I've lost it? I mean, here at the very end, where's his focus? That's a life well lived. You can look back and say, I'm satisfied because I lived it for the higher purposes. Made a difference. Faith lasts all the way to the grave. Number three, faith makes us different. Faith makes us different. In verse 13, toward the end of it, having confessed, acknowledged. By the way, confessed here is the same word, Greek word that's used in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. To confess means to agree with, to say it out. Having confessed, agreed with what? That they were strangers and exiles on the earth. See, Abraham, we saw it last week, understood that he was an exile, a stranger, an immigrant in the promised land. He never owned it. He was an immigrant. Other people owned it. But he also understood more than that, that even once his descendants owned that land, this land was not going to be their permanent home, because our permanent home is not here. It's where? It's there. Here in this world. This world of sin, this world in which Satan moves and works and his demons influence, this world of hurt and pain and evil, this world, this is not your home. You are in exile here, a stranger. A lot of gospel songs about that, aren't they? This world's not my home, I'm traveling on. And these men and women of faith owned that. They confessed it. Eden, your husband, Grant's over in Africa. They're flying home today. I guarantee you, everybody in Malawi who's a citizen of that country, when they saw him, they knew he's not from here. His accent's different. His language is different. His clothing's different. And he's not tanned. I mean, when you're traveling around the world, people pick you out. They know you're not from that country. You're not one of them. Right? And what does he say here? You're not a citizen of this place. Which means while we may love living and enjoy where we live, this place never defines you. That place does. That's your citizenship. And too often, too many of us who say we are followers of Christ forget that and become more concerned about the here and now than we do the eternal. I'm not saying here and now doesn't matter. This is where we live and where we love and where we serve and where we help people. But the here and now doesn't last. But you see, that heavenly city has a foundation that will never crack or sink. And when the architect designed it, it's perfect. You'll never have to remodel it or update it. And when he built it, he didn't skip any of the codes. It's built perfectly. Heaven is glorious. Heaven is perfect. That's where you fix your gaze. That's where you belong. And you ought to live in such a way and talk in such a way and love in such a way and be holy in such a way that the citizens of this lost world look at you and say, you're not from here, are you? That's the reason Paul in Romans 12 said, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, the way you think, in order that you may prove, demonstrate, show what is that good and perfect will of God. People ought to be able to look at you and me and know, man, you're not from around here. Why are you so, where are you from? And you say, I'm Jesus' representative to this world. I'm from his kingdom. That's what faith does. Number four, I got to move on. Faith moves forward, not backward. Faith moves forward, not backward. Backward. And if you ever wondered, should it be backwards? That's the British. We English don't do it. We Americans don't do it like they do. It's just backward. We move forward, not backward. Look at verses 14 and 15. He said, for those who say such things, that, hey, they acknowledge that they are exiles here, strangers. Those who say such things make it clear. There's no fuzziness, no doubt. Make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. In other words, if Abraham or his son or any of them had ever wanted to go back to Ur of the Chaldees, to Babylon, they could have done it. They never did. They never looked back. And they made it clear in the future. They weren't looking back. You know, when centuries ahead, Moses is leading the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt. On more than one occasion, when it got hard, the slaves he had delivered to freedom wanted to go back to slavery in Egypt. But their forefathers never wanted to go back. They kept moving forward. Jesus in Luke chapter 9 verse 62 said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever plowed the old-fashioned way? You know, a plow, the two handles, the horse out in front, and the rope around your neck, and you... I have, Bill, you have. Who else in here has ever plowed that way? A few of you? All right. So I read, hey, Brother Jim, thank you. I see that hand. You stand behind that plow and that rope's here. But when you're plowing, you keep your eyes that way, because if you don't, the horse will go that way. You start looking backwards and looking all around, those rows, those furrows will not be straight, because that horse will see something over he wants to eat. And he'll just start walking toward it. Now, they go pretty straight on their own for a little bit, but not till you finish plowing the whole garden. You keep it straight. That's what Jesus is talking about. You want to go forward, and you want to go forward to the kingdom of God. You want to go forward to glory. Keep your eyes looking forward. Faith doesn't look back to what was. It's tempting to look back. Sometimes there are things we care about and love that are back there, right? But looking back pulls you back instead of pushing you forward. Look back and celebrate the good things of God. But follow God by keeping your eyes forward. Your eyes forward. and you don't look back. A couple more things real quick. This kind of faith changes our standing with God. Look at verse 16. He said, "But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God." Now, what's interesting to me, when it says God is not ashamed to be called their God, it's this idea that if they, you, me, say, yeah, he's my God, God is not ashamed for us in public to say, yeah, he's our God. We're his son. We're his daughter. We're his child. Monisa and I have our two youngest grandkids this weekend, Lydia, who's two, and James, who just turned one, our little miracle baby that y'all have been praying for, doing great. And yesterday afternoon, about dinner time, I'm sitting, and James, he's in my lap, and for 30 minutes, that little fella just watched football with me and didn't make a sound. He's going to be a good one. And I'm talking about him because I'm proud of him. He's my grandson. And you're out here in the world, and you say, he's my father. And listen, and your heavenly father knows you're not perfect. He knew Abraham was not perfect, right? But you say, he's my father. And I want to please my father. I want to obey my father. And one day I want to be in heaven with my father. And your father, knowing you and everything about you, is not ashamed to be your father. Faith makes that true. Aren't you thankful? And then the last thing, faith is rewarded with heaven. The very end of verse 16, he has prepared a city for them, the heavenly city. You remember Jesus said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He prepares a city for them. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember how it goes on? Eventually saying, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you to myself. So you're not just received into heaven. You're received into the presence of the one who died for you. So that, what did Jesus say? So that where I am, Sister Faith, is going to be something, isn't it? So that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. See, sometimes we make God's will just about the nuts and bolts here, and it does involve the nuts and bolts here. But the here is always about the there. The now is always about the eternal. The ask is always bigger and more important than we know. And I am so thankful that our good, good God, like we sang earlier, allows us the privilege and joy of being part of his eternal kingdom work. What a privilege. How's your faith? How's your faith? Is Jesus preparing a place for you in glory because you've committed your life to him and been saved? I want us to stand and sing, and pastors will be here at the front. And I'm asking you to be honest with yourself. To be honest with yourself. If Jesus is not preparing a place for you in heaven because you are not committed to Him, you have not given your life to Him, you're not living for Him, you're not saved, I want you to come to Brother Steve, come to Brother Cole and say, today I'm committing myself to Jesus and asking Him to forgive me and save me, and I want to be His child, His disciple, because I want Jesus to start working on my room in heaven right now. Come to one of these two brothers and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Come to them if you need to be baptized, if you want to join this church. But for everyone else, this altar has a kneeling bench. It's a place to pray. And I'm asking you to pray about your walk with God, about your faith, the direction your eyes are looking, because the direction your eyes look is the direction you will live. How is your faith? How is your faith? Come and pray. Let's sing together. You come quickly. Come and be saved. Come and pray right now. All over the room. Just start walking quickly. Come on.